today at Reader's Corner, Susan Elia McNeil, author of the new novel, Mother, Daughter, Traitor, Spy. I'm Bob Custer. Welcome to Reader's Corner. On today's program, novelist Susan Elia McNeil joins us to talk about her novel, Mother, Daughter, Traitor, Spy. The book is inspired by the real mother-daughter spy duo who foiled Nazi plots in Los Angeles during World War II. The novel is a powerful portrait of family, duty, and deception that raises timeless questions about America and what it means to have courage in the face of terror. Susan Elia McNeil is the New York Times best-selling author of the Maggie Hope series. She won the Barry Award and has been nominated for the Edgar, Agatha, Left Coast Crime, and ITW Thriller Awards. Susan Elia McNeil, welcome to Reader's Corner.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for having me.
Well, Susan, it's just really been a joy to read your book. I mean, it wasn't always a joy because there's some tough stuff in your book that we're all aware happened then, that is the 1940s, but some of it has happened just recently. As a reader, I must say that I'm becoming increasingly infatuated by the job of a fiction writer who does historical fiction, inserting fictional characters into real life events. And you are a master at that, given your Maggie Hope series. And before we get into Mother, Daughter, Traitor, Spy, why don't you share with our listeners what the Maggie Hope series is? Because I know after they read this book, they're going to want to go to another Susan Elia McNeil book.
Oh, thank you. Well, Maggie Hope, I always describe her as a cross between Nancy Drew and James Bond. And she's a World War II typist turned undercover secret agent. And as I do in all my books, I followed closely the story of the British spies in the SOE, the Special Operations Executive, who were sent over to Europe to raise chaos, basically. And they were Churchill's special agents, and he sent them over, and they did enormously amazing things that have only come to light in the last few decades.
Yes. And over the course of the last few years, we've actually interviewed a couple of authors about the Special Operations Executive and the women who distinguished themselves
France. It's become really popular now. I'm so happy because all of those women, especially, I think, deserve so much more recognition for all that they did during the war.
Right. So let's go fast forward to Mother, Daughter, Traitor, Spy. This is set in the 1940s in Los Angeles. I don't know how you went down what I call the rabbit hole to get into this subject, but I can tell you, I listened to Ultra, the Rachel Maddow podcast, which is beautifully done, citing many, many historical references. I mean, I no matter what people might think of Rachel Maddow on MSNBC, I can vouch for the fact that this is a historical accurate treatment of what really happened in Los Angeles. You, I think, were working on one of your books, which I think the title sounded very, very similar to The Hollywood Spy, I think it was called. And is that where you came up with this idea?
Well, I came up with the idea because my husband, bizarrely enough, my husband is a Muppeteer and he works for the Jim Henson Company and he directs for Sesame Street. And he was doing a gig in LA, and at the airport, he picked up this brand new history book, and it was called Hitler in Los Angeles by Stephen Ross.
Yes.
And actually, that's the book, I believe, that first interested Rachel Maddow. And he brought this home for me, and I always joke with him, you know, some husbands bring, you know, chocolates, and some bring jewelry, and I got a book on Hitler. But, you know, the thing is, I ended up getting two books out of it, and I was just so fascinated. It was such a catalyst for my writing. And in this book, Ross traces the history of Nazism in Southern California, and then the Jewish spy masters, and then their spies, who fought against it. And it was a covert fight. The FBI wasn't interested. They were interested in catching communists. The police certainly weren't interested. Most of them were fascists themselves. So here we have these like completely sort of amateur spies and spy masters who averted so many disasters and did such wonderful things. And then finally, after Pearl Harbor, got the recognition they deserved and were, you know, taken in by the FBI.
Well, that was in the 1940s, but I happen to be reading your book at the moment here, and I'm going to quote from it. In this particular case, Veronica, and I'll have you tell our listeners a little bit more about Veronica in a moment, but she's trying to get from this Nazi the details. She's the spy, so she's going to try to take this back to the people who can help in this matter. And he says, our goal is to take out Roosevelt and install a temporary dictatorship to eliminate the communists and Jews. And then later on, he says, yes, but also we have the silver shirts, the copperheads, the KKK, you name it, some police and FBI agents, as well as politicians. If that doesn't sound like it's ripped from the headlines, I don't know what is. Were you thinking about that as you wrote this book? This isn't just about the 40s. This is about today.
Well, you know, factually, I kept it towards the actual literal facts that Ross and
sure.
And I researched right. also in this wonderful library in California. But yeah, I mean, it was staggering to me, especially sitting home and watching the, you know, events of the attack on the Capitol. I was horrified and yet not entirely surprised.
Well, let's start with the Bund. Tell us about this organization that really catalyzes the work of so many people.
Well, the German-American Bund was very popular in American cities that had German-American immigrants. So I'm here in New York, and of course, the German-American Bund was very, very big and powerful organization. And the Bund was also very popular in Los Angeles. There were a lot of German immigrants and their families who lived there. And they were celebrating German culture and German literature and German music and food and all of those great things. They were also getting propaganda from Nazi Germany. So Goebbels and all of his cronies in Nazi Germany were sending over pamphlets and books and all kinds of propaganda to sort of win American hearts and minds over to the Nazi cause. And so these were distributed along with the steins of beer and the Wiener Schnitzel, and had a profound effect on how Americans looked at the Nazis and at the war in Europe.
So the protagonist in your novel is Veronica Grace. She's a journalist. Her last name is actually the first name of the real Veronica, whose name was Sylvia Comfort.
Right.
Why don't you tell us about Veronica Grace? And here she is in New York, where you live, and then she's not, and she's in L.A., and that's kind of an interesting story all in itself.
You know, I really wanted someone, I'm not from California, I've been lucky enough to spend a lot of time there, but I'm not from California, and I really wanted the perspective of two outsiders, Veronica and her mother, to kind of come in and see everything fresh, and that was a way for me to have them come in and see everything fresh, and also to have a background of New York, which even back in the 30s and 40s was incredibly multicultural. I had Veronica graduate from Hunter College, which was unbelievably multicultural for its time. And I really wanted to do that on purpose so that she had an idea of what society could be like in a positive way when people worked together and were educated together and did things together. So I wanted her to have both that perspective and the sort of outsider perspective.
Well, she made a really big mistake early
she
in
did.
Her career. And I will let you, we're certainly not going to give away this novel. Your ending was thrilling. I mean, I couldn't put your book down. So I'm not going to go there, but I don't think we can do it much harm by telling maybe a few of the details earlier in the book.
Sure.
But it's up to you if you'd like to share how she gets from New York to L.A. what causes her to leave New York, I guess.
Sure. Well, Veronica thought, you know, she was on top of the world and she had everything all sewn up. She had this incredible journalism opportunity with Mademoiselle magazine, which was a real thing. A lot of incredibly prominent journalists started out at Mademoiselle, and they lived at the Barbizon Hotel in New York. And it was all quite glamorous and really wonderful and really like amazing for Veronica, who was this aspiring writer. And she made a horrible mistake. She had an affair with a married man, and his wife, who was very influential in publishing, basically had her blackballed in New York publishing. So she had to start over. And her mother, interestingly enough, who was also a widow, and this is true for the original also, she was a widow, and she was, you know, her daughter was graduating from college. She had an empty nest, and she was also looking to start over. And while they might not have wanted to go to LA, they certainly found themselves there. They certainly found the best parts of themselves in LA.
And Veronica also won the National Pacemaker Award in your novel. As it turns out, I learned that that's for real.
That is for real. I have a friend who was a friend who's now in her 80s, who was an intern at Mademoiselle, and she followed that track to becoming a journalist for ABC News. So, I mean, all of this is definitely based in reality, in, you know, facts that I've researched. So the affair, of course, is fictional.
You're listening to Susan Elia McNeil. She's the author of Mother, Daughter, Traitor, Spy. So Veronica and Vi, her mother, head out to L.A., and they meet up with a couple of guys who are Jewish leaders in the 1940s. Ari Lewis and Joseph Roos. I don't remember whether those were their real names or their novel names, but whatever. Those are the two people who Veronica and Vi end up working for as spies. Tell us about these two guys. And I think you mentioned briefly in the intro that the government, the FBI, was more interested in communists in those days. So there wasn't a lot of work being done on what might be going on with American Nazis, but your version.
Right. Well, you know, so I'll start with Leon Lewis, and I named my character Ari Lewis, but Leon Lewis, the real man behind the spy organization, was a German Jew. He was a lawyer. He was educated in the United States. And from the beginning of Nazism, he kept a very close eye from the U.S. on what Nazi groups were doing, and was just horrified by what he was learning, and also the fact that no one in America really took any of it seriously. And he really did try to work with the FBI. He did try to work with the police, and really got nowhere, and finally decided he had to do his own thing if he wanted to achieve anything and keep people in Los Angeles safe. And he ended up working with Joseph Roos, and you got that right. That's his real name. And he was also, he was from Chicago originally, a lawyer, but also a writer. And he and Lewis bonded together to sort of create this office where they could run all their spies. And I just have to say, too, that their spies were generally German-American Christians. They were people who also thought the Nazis were horrible, wanted to do something to stop what was going on, and decided to work as spies. So a friend of mine who interviewed me, who's German-American, was just so happy to see that not only were, you know, there are German-American Nazis, but also German-Americans who were fighting against the Nazis.
You know, there was a point in your book where Veronica is talking with Jonah Rose, trying to figure out how these Nazi types get this way. And her problem is that she's working for this couple. I want you to tell us about this couple. And she likes them because they've been kind to her, maybe one way of putting it. And he says, well, it's not all black and white. There's a lot of gray. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I even thought of that in terms of what we're going through today, that there are uneducated, misinformed people who get sucked into these movements with no regard to the facts. But right. Back us up a little bit and tell us, please, about Veronica in this regard.
Well, I never liked to write characters as monsters or saviors, even. Obviously, you know, we already discussed Veronica made a serious misstep. I personally have seen and been friends with a lot of people who are very, very nice people who would literally give you the shirt off your back. And then, you know, I sort of realized, well, that's only because I'm white that they would do that. And maybe it wouldn't be so nice for someone else. So it was my way of sort of finding some humanity there. And just making it not, you know, you don't want mustache twirling villain. You want real people who've kind of lost their way for whatever reason.
So tell us about the McDonald's, because that strikes me as those kinds of people exactly.
Well, the McDonald's they're based on real people. They were teachers in East Hollywood, and they became involved with the German-American Bund, and they were copying and distributing Nazi propaganda, and that was, you know, what they did when they weren't teachers. They bought the whole lie about the Nazis and about the Jews hook, line, and sinker, and it became the central part of their identity, a central part of their social life, a central part of like who they were friends with. And it's just so unfortunate, because I think, you know, if you read between the lines, you can see that these are really smart people, and they were kind. They did have good hearts, and they were just so horribly led astray by all of this vicious propaganda.
And so Veronica winds up being his secretary, basically, isn't it?
Yes, correct? Which is how the real secretary, the book is based on, came into this operation. She worked for them. And she was like mimeographing some of the propaganda, and she was so horrified by the anti-Semitism and the violence that, you know, she went to the police, she went to the FBI, she went to all these different people, and basically was told, like, we don't care, you know, we're trying to catch communists now. And so finally, because, and this is again in real life, she was the daughter of a Navy officer. She met up with someone in naval intelligence who happened to know Leon Lewis and put her in touch. And then after, you know, vetting and whatnot, she and her mother started working for Lewis. So that's how that worked.
Getting back to the mechanics of writing historical fiction, I noticed at the end of your novel, you pointed out that Veronica in real life was not a journalist, but you made her a journalist for a certain reason. I wonder if you could share with us how that comes about.
Sure. Well, I wanted her to have a background in journalism because I think it would make it easier for the reader to believe that she could be, she could go undercover for a story, and that she had gone undercover for stories. And specifically, she'd gone undercover to write a story about the Nazi rally in Madison Square Garden in 1938. So I really wanted her to have that background and that perspective.
So Herman Schwinn winds up, same name in your novel and in real life. Tell us about Herman Schwinn in Mother, Daughter, Traitor, Spy.
Well, he was a real Nazi. He was a German who was living in Los Angeles. He was very high up in the German-American Bund. And he was in contact with all of the higher-ups in Nazi propaganda, and he was tasked with distributing all of it and raising support for the Nazi cause.
Your novel also mentions threats to Hollywood personalities, and again, I think you use the same names in your novel that appear in the news if you go back far enough into the 1940s. Very, very famous names of the day. Tell us what was going on in that regard.
Well, you know, one of the things that the Nazis hated was that there were so many people who were Jewish involved in the film industry in Los Angeles, and they decided that it would be a great idea to assassinate a lot of them. And we're talking Charlie Chaplin and Louis B. Mayer and all kinds of people who were very anti-Hitler, anti-Nazi, and also Jewish. And they had a very specific plan to kill them. And it did not happen because of Leon Lewis and his work. But it is terrifying to contemplate.
You're listening to Susan Elia McNeil, author of the new novel, Mother, Daughter, Traitor, Spy. Well, the word liquidated is used by the Nazis in your book to describe how undercover spies will be dealt with if they're caught. I assume that was no exaggeration.
That was not an exaggeration. That was a direct quote from the research that I did, the primary source research that I did at the California libraries. Yeah.
So early on in your novel, as Veronica is establishing herself in the Nazi office, she's given a copy of the National American. I've looked all over for the National American and I couldn't find it. Should I have been able to find it, or did the National American appear from your fictional pursuits?
If it was real, I would have put it. If it was fictional, I think I would have. I honestly can't remember, but I'm thinking it was probably fictional because I wanted it to say something, and I didn't want to make up something for an actual existing newspaper, so I put it in a fictional one. But I mean, it's all based on real stuff.
So we all know the role that America First played in the 40s when it comes to whether or not America should enter World War II, whether or not America should aid and abet Britain and join as a partner in the fight against Nazism and Hitler. And we know that Charles Lindbergh was involved in that. And he, of course, comes into your novel, but not so prominent, perhaps, in today's world anyway, in terms of what we remember, is Nora Ingle. I wonder if you could share with us who she was.
Well, she was an aviator. So she was friends with Lindbergh, and she was a very prominent supporter of the Nazis. And she reached out to a lot of right-wing women's groups to help gather women into the fold. And she was incredibly powerful speaker and well-regarded in those circles, and even had plans to fly to Berlin. She wanted, and this, I don't think I got into this really in the book, but she literally wanted to take the mother to Berlin because she thought, you know, they were such great friends and the mother was so into the cause. So, you know, there was this woman who was an American citizen, like working hand in glove with real Nazis in Berlin.
You remind the reader how America reacted after Pearl Harbor was attacked. And I must admit, I've never paid attention to the details of what was going on in Los Angeles, but, That was quite a preparation. I guess folks really didn't know if the next step might be an attack on Los Angeles.
You know, it must have been terrifying because it would be a logical next step in a lot of ways, especially, you know, with so much of the Navy in San Diego. You know, those are Los Angeles and San Diego have incredible working harbors with a lot of military, and it would have been devastating to have an attack there. I mean, I don't think they were wrong to be scared.
Well, are you going to go back to Maggie Hope novels when you're, yes, you're probably already in pursuit of your next novel, but are you going to go back to Maggie Hope, or is there something like this you might do instead?
Well, I'm going back to Maggie Hope for the time being. I'm well into the 11th novel in the series, and it's about Maggie in Spain with Coco Chanel, the designer. And we might think of her as the designer and her handbags and her lipstick, but honestly, she was a French woman who was a German spy during World War II. She had a lover who was with the Abwehr, and she carried out several missions, including one in Madrid. And this is where Maggie meets her, and this is where the story sort of takes off from there. So it's Maggie Hope and Coco Chanel in Madrid, Spain.
That sounds like a very exciting novel.
I'm having a lot of fun writing it.
Yeah, well, I how much research do you do before you put pen to paper? Not how much, but how much time? I assume that there's months of research and then, of course, pen to paper.
Definitely. I think, well, for this, like at least 3 to 4 months of research, but that's on on top of all the research I've been doing for the last decade plus. But I have to admit, I knew very little about Spain in World War II. Spain was a neutral nation, and it doesn't really come up much in the history books, even though so much important work was being done. You know, Spain was neutral, and the Germans definitely wanted to have Spain on their side. The Allies wanted Spain on their side. There was the whole issue of Gibraltar. So Spain was incredibly important, and I just knew nothing. So I had to start from scratch to educate myself about that. But one of the interesting things that I found out was that Kim Philby, you know, one of the Cambridge spies, he was head of the SIS in what they call the Iberian Peninsula, so Spain and Portugal. So he ends up running Maggie's mission, which I didn't plan for. But when you come across something like that, you can't turn away. I mean, it's just too good.
Well, we interviewed Isabel Allende last year, I guess it was, for A Long Petal of the Sea, her recent novel, which is about the diaspora of Spaniards leaving the country, heading up to France, and then going over to South America.
Right.
It's Isabel Allende's own story, actually. It's exactly what happened to her. So I'm sure your novel is going to be highly anticipated, and I know it will in my house for sure.
Oh, thank you so much, Bob.
Yeah. Well, Susan, this has been great. I really enjoyed talking with you today. And as I said, I loved your book, Mother, Daughter, Traitor, Spy. It's not only great historical fiction, but it's a must read in terms of what's going on in our country today, and a little bit of a warning that we better pay close attention to the politics of the day.
Absolutely.
Want to thank you for joining me today at Reader's Corner.
Thank you for having me.
Susan Elia McNeil, thank you so much for joining us today at Reader's Corner. Reader's Corner is presented by Boise State Public Radio News. The engineer for today's show is Eric Fedrici, with production by Joel Wayne. I'm Bob Custra. Please join me next week as we talk to today's leading writers about the ideas and issues that help shape our world at Reader's Corner.